May it please the court, counsel, members of the audience. My name is Sean Olson. I represent the appellant in this case, Marcus Umstead. This case comes as a direct appeal from the State Personnel Board, and it comes to this court because state agencies hold all the cards when it comes to removing an employee's property right in his continued employment from a state agency. Agencies like the Colorado State Patrol literally make their own rules when it comes to determining how and when they may take away an employee's property right in his continued employment. The only thing an employee has on his side, the only thing in his corner, is the knowledge and the promise of due process that the state agency will follow those rules. That they'll follow those rules and make the proceedings that they have created fundamentally fair. That's exactly what did not happen in this case. The State Patrol did not follow its own rules. It did not provide Marcus Umstead with the specific notice of the specific charges for which his employment right was being taken away, and as a result, deprived him of a meaningful opportunity to contest those charges once he went to hearing. I think you're partially right, Your Honor. Rule 610 requires that the employer, in this case, again, the Colorado State Patrol, give its employee the opportunity to address his side of the story, as far as the factual basis of the story is concerned. There is no requirement in Rule 610 that the employer give the employee specific notice of the specific charges they're considering against him at that point in time. I am not. I'm contending only that he was deprived of due process, deprived of notice when he was terminated, and prior to the hearing that he was provided pursuant to State Personnel Board rules of the proper notice of the specific charges that were responsible for the termination of his employment.
Are you indicating that the actual charge that was litigated in the Personnel Board was never mentioned prior to that?
The three charges that Major Chris Meredith, the only individual responsible for terminating Marcus Umstead's employment, the three charges that he testified that he sustained against Mr. Umstead that resulted in the termination of his employment were not given to Mr. Umstead prior to that hearing. And in fact, Mr. Umstead did not have notice of those charges until 3 days into the hearing. I think you're understanding it exactly the way. Yes, Your Honor, for several reasons. Major Meredith's testimony about the member conduct complaint form, which you referred to, only arose during hearing when Major Meredith at first couldn't remember what charges he sustained against Mr. Umstead. That is true, Your Honor. And that is exactly when Major Meredith then testified that the three charges in the member complaint form were, in fact, the charges that he sustained against Mr. Umstead that led to Mr. Umstead's termination. And it is those charges that Mr. Umstead had no notice of prior to hearing, that he had no notice of until 3 days in. And he was required by due process and by the rules of the State Personnel Board and by the State Patrol to have notice of those charges, so that he could present a meaningful opportunity to respond to those charges. He would have notice of the elements of each of those charges. He would be able to craft a strategy to meet the burden that the state would have in presenting those charges. He would know what evidence to present, what witnesses to present, and in what order to present those things.
Is it those three charges upon which the board ultimately affirmed the termination?
I believe so, Your Honor, and I believe that leads to some of the confusion and partially the reason that we're here now, is because even today we still don't know exactly what the charges were that led to Mr. Umstead's termination. Certainly there was confusion just based on the two reports, the initial 615 letter, then the member conduct complaint, which listed three charges separate and distinct from the six or possibly seven charges originally listed in the 615 letter. Major Meredith's testimony then regarding those three charges, that in fact those were the charges he sustained. He didn't recall or didn't know if the charges listed in the 615 letter were in fact ever sustained or led to the termination of Mr. Umstead's employment. And the confusion in the final, in the hearing officer's final order. Even she ignored the three charges that were listed in the member conduct complaint, addressed charges that the state itself said had no relevance to the proceedings in front of the hearing officer. I think there was confusion not only for Mr. Umstead, there was confusion for the state, and there was confusion for the hearing officer presiding over his personnel hearing appeal.
Counsel, let me ask you this. Were the three charges that were listed in the member conduct complaint contained within the 615 termination letter?
Your Honor, I guess, and again, that's part of the confusion that we have here. We don't know. We don't know what the elements of those particular charges even were. If Mr. Umstead were provided advance notice of what those were, there could have been some opportunity to determine exactly what each of those charges meant. But because no explanation was ever provided, either by the state, the hearing officer, or anybody else, it's impossible for us to know whether those charges were subsumed inside of the 615 letter. Correct, Your Well, I heard two different issues, and I'll address the first one regarding the charges in the 615 letter. When Major Meredith was asked specifically on cross-examination, what did you sustain against Mr. Umstead, he listed the three charges contained in the member conduct complaint form. He no longer referenced the 615 letter, and it wasn't until redirect that he then said, oh, that form is irrelevant. But in fact, no, the member conduct complaint form. But that form is relevant. He testified on cross-examination that the form was relevant. And in fact, he filled out that form and signed it 2 days after he provided Mr. Umstead with his 615 letter. It was relevant. Major Meredith's testimony at hearing specifically addressed the fact that those charges were relevant and they were in fact the cause for Mr. Umstead's termination. But even if that is the case, Your Honor, even if they are two different things, they were still all responsible for Mr. Umstead's termination. And pursuant to Rule 615, Mr. Umstead was required by the rules, by due process, to have specific notice of each one of those specific reasons that led to his termination. And he was not provided with that notice until he got to hearing. And that is where the due process violation arises from. Your Honor, I don't have the exact citation in front of me, but I believe it was on cross-examination, if I recall, somewhere around in the record 1277, maybe, on cross-examination, where counsel for Mr. Umstead, Douglas Jewell, asked him, what did you sustain against Mr. Umstead? And that is when he pulled out the member conduct complaint form and said, I sustained these three things. And I see I'm coming up on 3 minutes. If it's the court's pleasure, I'd like to reserve that for rebuttal if possible.
Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel, and audience. I'm Diane Dash, Senior Assistant Attorney General, here on behalf of the Colorado State Patrol. The personnel board under which all classified state employees are protected is a constitutionally determined agents or right of all state employees. And further from the Constitution, the statutes identify the State Personnel Board. They identify the procedure that is required and a right for all state employees, such as Mr. Umstead, to follow. And further, the State Personnel Board has enacted its own rules. The hearing was approximately 4 days, a lengthy hearing. At no time during that hearing was there an indication that any of those rules had been violated. The rules specific to this case are that 610 meeting, which is one of the rules, was held between Major Meredith, who is the appointing authority here, and Mr. Umstead. It lasted about an hour and a half. During that, the conversation was about Major Meredith's concerns, the totality of what happened on the night, and I won't go into all of the facts, but the incident that Mr. Umstead was involved in. Mr. Umstead had an opportunity to provide information to Major Meredith. He was allowed to ask questions. There was a conversation, totally exactly what Rule 610 requires. Following that period of time, there was even additional follow-up by Major Meredith. But once Major Meredith made his decision, he wrote the letter, which is the 615 letter, which identified very clearly what he considered, what his concerns were, and what violations he found that Mr. Umstead violated of the rules of the State Patrol. And generally, those are the general orders that are found in that letter.
And how many reasons were indicated in that 615 letter?
He gave a narrative, actually, and he listed all of the identified violations of the general orders, and then gave a narrative on how his conduct violated those general orders.
Were there approximately, I know there was some question of whether there were 6 or 8 reasons. Can you specify whether there, how many there were?
What Major Meredith testified in the hearing to was that it was based on the totality of the circumstances, that based on Mr. Umstead's conduct that night late and his contact with the driver and the passenger in that large truck, based on all of that, it violated these general orders. The general orders are not specific charges. They're not charges like a criminal offense, which would have elements.
I see. So you're saying that it wasn't any one particular violation that Meredith was relying on in terminating Trooper Umstead.
Exactly.
But it was the totality of the circumstances as represented by his 615 letter or explanation
exactly.
in the 615 letter.
Yes, exactly. That's correct. Yes. There was no confusion in the hearing until on cross-examination the member conduct form, which is at issue right here, was brought in. The member conduct form is an internal document. It was initially filled out when the Arvada Police Department called the State Patrol to report the conduct that it had identified from Mr. Umstead on the night in question.
Excuse me, can I interrupt you just right there? Real quickly, I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but the member conduct complaint form is a CSP form?
It is.
And it was filled out pursuant to the call or the report from the Arvada Police Department?
Initially, the very first day.
Right. Thank you.
I think it was early in the morning. This incident occurred around midnight. As soon as Arvada Police Department investigated, they did an initial investigation. They did consider criminal menacing, but rejected that, chose internally with the Arvada Police Department to just simply refer this conduct to the State Patrol to be handled internally as the patrol saw fit.
So the member conduct complaint form is filled out by a CSP person.
Yes, in the internal affairs where any complaint that might come in on anybody, any member of the State Patrol would have this form associated. A driver who's pulled over and had a complaint, they would call in, it would indicate that. So this is the official form, an intake form in essence, that the patrol uses.
So what were the issues at the hearing? The 6 in the termination letter or 3
I'm sorry, didn't understand that question.
What did the hearing officer consider? I mean, the hearing officer consider the 615 letter, or did it consider the complaint, or both?
There is no mention in any of the 80 evidentiary facts in the initial decision of the administrative law judge, which was adopted in total by the state personnel board, no mention of the member conduct complaint form. It wasn't an issue other than, as I indicated, on cross-examination. On the member conduct form. Yes. Well, the member conduct complaint form is an internal document keeping track of what happened. This agency citizen called in, had a complaint on one of the members. In this particular situation, it was complex. The patrol determined that it required an internal investigation, which was far more expansive than the paragraph that is written based on information that they gathered from the Arvada Police Department that night. So the entire incident was investigated. There was a determination that it was serious. It was given to the appointing authority, Major Meredith, to handle as part of the disciplinary corrective action rules that are mandated by the personnel board for state agencies. So it evolved into something more. Now, a complaint, on the other hand, could be something minor, and the patrol would look into it and find, you know, there really was no need for an internal investigation. There was no need for anything further to be done. And they would simply... It is a follow-up at the end. The disciplinary process takes place, in this case, based on the facts. Mr. Umstead was terminated from his employment. Then, as a follow-up to complete the form, because the form is in the file, what happened as a result of this initial complaint from our Arvada police, they checked it based on the facts. This form is not used as a way to terminate or discipline a member. There has to be more than just this complaint. It goes through the whole process, the 610 process, the 615 process. Exactly. He did, and I quoted it in my brief because it was confusing. He was talking and, I mean, answering questions and stating, as the argument here earlier and mentioned, that it was relevant. It is relevant. It's a form that is relevant because it kicked off the investigation. It's relevant because it recites the initial information that was received from the Arvada Police Department. So on redirect or recross, I believe, I did ask him, and he basically said that they are totally separate. The 610, 615 process is separate from this internal document.
So the matter proceeded on the sixth rule violation in the 615 one.
Exactly.
Would it be required under the rules of the personnel board to find a violation of one or more of their rules? Or the employee determined.
Generally, there are obviously maybe other factual situations that are relevant to a termination, but in this particular case, it was a violation of rules or regulations.
So, in your view, they have to prove those violations, or the hearing officer or the panel have to sustain them.
That's right. The State Patrol has to prove it. The burden of proof is on the State Patrol to show that these particular rules, in this case, general orders, were violated based on this conduct. That's correct. Generally, menacing requires an actual conviction. So the confusion was based on the description of criminal menacing. Did his conduct rise to that level? It kind of looked like it, but there was no conviction. Nobody ever filed criminal charges against Mr. Armstead. Exactly. And that would have been critical to the menacing charge.
CSP would have to prove each and every one of the six violations in order to constitute a basis for the hearing officer to find a totality of the circumstances.
In the initial decision, which again was adopted by the personnel board in total, the administrative law judge went through each of those general orders. Whether all six had to be upheld by the ALJ, or five or four or whatever, it would be up to the administrative law judge to determine that. So there is an option for the administrative law judge to say not all of these rules were violated, but I still uphold the termination.
He could do it on one rule.
Could do it on one rule, exactly. And sometimes there would only be one rule violation.
In this case, I don't recall from the record, but did the ALJ indicate how many of these violations she, wasn't it?
It was a she.
Yeah, she found proven by CSP?
Yes, I think she indicated that there was no menacing, felony.
It was
menacing.
The only one that wasn't proven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in closing, I would like to state that the law is that the court must affirm decisions of the board unless a decision by the board is unsupported by the record. And as I indicated, there was nothing in the record, nothing in the evidentiary facts that even mentioned the member conduct complaint form. Thank you.
Your Honors, I believe I understand the state's position regarding what was relevant and what was not relevant, and their position that, in fact, there was no confusion. But that was not Major Meredith's position. And pursuant to the rules, Major Meredith is the only person who gets to decide that. It's not the province of his counsel. It's not the province of the hearing officer. Pursuant to Rule 614, the hiring authority, in this case Colorado State Patrol and its designee, Major Meredith, was the only person who got to determine what charges were pending and what charges would be sustained in order that Mr. Armstead's employment could be taken away.
Did he author the 615 letter?
He did, Your Honor. He authored both the 615 letter and the member complaint form. And I know it's also the state's position.
So he didn't author the member complaint. That was an entry.
Well, and I guess maybe that's where even more confusion lies, Your Honor. Because there is no, I suppose, designated author of the member conduct complaint form. Major Meredith did sign off on that form. His signature appears at the bottom of the form, and it's dated 2 days after the 615 letter was sent out. And again, and if I could direct the court to the record, and for 1287 to approximately 1290 is where the discussion began during hearing regarding this confusion. The confusion that Major Meredith's testimony created regarding the charges that he did in fact sustain. And again, that confusion violated Mr. Armstead's due process rights because he was provided no notice of those charges.
Let me interrupt you, please. You indicated that Major Meredith's signature appeared on the MCC, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
What significance is that? What does that mean?
Well, by itself, I'm not sure it would have any significance. But in conjunction with his testimony at hearing, again, his testimony specifically, that those, in fact, were the three charges that he sustained, along with his signature on the document containing those three particular charges. I think it holds a great deal of significance in that respect, because it proves to us that, in fact, those were the charges that Mr. Umstead was to address at hearing. And those were the charges that he did not have specific notice of prior to his hearing, the specific notice that was required by the rules for him to address.
So he entered the hearing in the mistaken belief that it was going to be based on the 615 termination.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And it was, in fact, based on the 615 termination.
Well, and again, Your Honor, I think that's exactly what we don't know. Again, Major Meredith was the only individual who determined what those charges were. And he testified at hearing that it wasn't, in fact, those three individual charges on the member conduct complaint that he sustained. That it wasn't, in fact, the six charges listed in the 615 letter. And again, in his testimony, he could not recall often if he sustained any of those charges. And in fact, the state even objected when counsel for Mr. Umstead tried to inquire about the menacing charge. Counsel objected and said, there's no evidence here that menacing was involved in this case. And I think it's just it's further proof of the fact that all the parties involved were confused, including Mr. Umstead.
Well, isn't the issue whether Mr. Umstead came prepared to address the 615 letter, and that was in fact what was addressed? And if he came there to address the 615 letter, how are his due process rights affected?
He did come prepared to address the specific charges laid out in the 615 letter. His due process rights were violated because Rule 615 requires that the agency give him specific notice of the specific charges that are pending against him prior to hearing. That notice is required in order to give him not just an opportunity to respond to those charges, but a meaningful opportunity to respond to those charges. That's what the rules require. It's what due process requires. And when the state holds all the cards, that's the only thing that Marcus Umstead had in his favor was knowing that the state would have to abide by its own rules by providing that specific notice of the specific charges and not change horses in the middle of the hearing and create a moving target for him to hit.
Thank you, counsel. Time's up. You've been on our time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I thank both counsel for their argument. The case will be deemed submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course.